All right, men. So I happen to have my girl crush on the phone right now with me. This is a wonderful opportunity for me, a great opportunity for you. I have a woman named Marie Forleo. Is that how you pronounce it? I'm sorry, your last name. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, Forleo. Good. I got it right. Okay, wonderful. On the phone with me, and I don't even want to go through her list of credentials, but she is an amazing, inspiring, talented woman. Who has created several businesses for herself, runs a multi-million dollar empire where she helps women around the world understand their potential and make them, I don't know how to put this, basically helps them take a concept that's in their head and put it into reality. So she has helped empower thousands, I'm sure, possibly even more women around the world, you know, be the women that they actually want to be. And just recently, she was part of Tony Robbins' program where he talked to very influential and successful people. I think it was 12 people on the program. And she was one of them. I think the only woman that was on the program. So anyway, I'm going to go on rambling about you. But Marie, thank you so much for being on the call.
Oh, it's an honor. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to explain a little bit, maybe more clearly, about what it is that you actually do or what you've achieved?
I mean, yeah, that we've definitely had an incredible run. You know, my business really, we empower women entrepreneurs. That's our main focus. We deliver kick-ass small business and personal development training for women, and our programs are easy to consume. They're outrageously fun, and most importantly, they get results. Our core brand is Rich, Happy, and Hot, and the philosophy is really using your talents to change the world while creating a lifestyle that you love. So we mentor over 50,000 small business owners in over 108 countries. That's many of them tune into our weekly Marie TV, which is our free web TV show. And we just have different courses, from digital online courses to a live conference that's more like a concert at Donna Karan's Urban Zen Center. And we also have something called the Adventure Mastermind, which is a high-level 9-month training that fuses business building retreats with surprise excursions like boudoir shoots and pole dancing and MTV style music videos.
Ugh, pole dancing, that stuck out for me. I just took pole dancing last year and it was amazing. Wonderful. Okay, so I want to dive right in, because the thing is that my audience is men. Okay.
Yep.
And men who want to be with women, want to get women, whether it's for a one-night stand, for dating, for relationships, whatever it is. And what I do is I help men, similarly to how you help women, get what they want, bringing their thoughts and their mind into a reality. So I wanted to talk to you about this client that I've recently been working with. And the thing that he brought up the other day on the phone was this topic of permission. And that the challenge for him when approaching a woman is that he doesn't have permission to do so. He feels that he's bothering her. He's going to be wasting her time. He's bombarding her and interrupting her day. And so he and I talked about this concept of permission, which I know is a common issue or fear with a lot of men. And so I wanted to ask you, I know that you're married, so you're in a wonderful relationship. But I'm sure a lot of men around you are quite intimidated. You're beautiful, you're successful, you're intelligent. So in response to, you know, this issue that's come up about men needing permission to approach you, how would you respond to that? Do men need permission to interact with you?
No, I don't. I mean, you know, it's a lot of it. So much, Marnie, is common sense. And there was a great movie that came out just last year called Crazy Stupid Love.
Love that movie.
Steve Carell and, of course, Ryan Gosling, who is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that movie, you know, it's so much fun, but it's a really great example of when Ryan Gosling would just kind of go up and introduce himself or say something. And it was all about his confidence and all about, you know, not being too pushy, but being a little laid back at the same time. And I just think, again, rather than talk through it, it's like, go watch that movie. You know, you're not necessarily an interruption. And what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, just before I tweeted out the famous Wayne Gretzky quote, it's, you know, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So
exactly.
The worst thing that can happen is the woman says, you know what, I'm not interested, or I'm married, or I've got a girlfriend, or not now. And then big whoop, you just move on to the next.
Right. So for you, like, let's say for you, again, I know that you're married, but, you know, attraction still exists and flirting still exists, obviously, even within a marriage, obviously controlled and put boundaries in place. But for you, you're out there interacting with tons of people. So if there were a man out there who were going to be approaching you, you know, not knowing that you are someone who is unavailable, are there signs that you would give that you are welcoming to this approach, or signs that you give that you're not welcoming to the approach?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Marty, because for me specifically, because I am in a committed relationship, I'm very aware of my energy and I'm very aware of not putting out that I'm open for business. Now, that's very different than me walking down the street and I'm walking my dog and I smile and I say hi to men and women. But I think that they're, you know, I think men are intuitive more than they give themselves credit for.
Okay.
And if men really take the time to listen to themselves, they'll see certain women are either looking around or putting out the signals. I think pheromones, you'd probably be more of an expert on me than this.
Yeah.
But when women are available, I know my single girlfriends, they put out the vibes. It's an energetic thing that you can feel. And men will talk with me all the time, but it's really interesting. I don't get guys very often saying, like, they look down, they see my ring, and maybe they'll have a conversation with me, but it never, they never, ever, ever go, hey, can I have your number? Like, it's just, I don't put out those vibes. Like, I'm not open for business.
Good, which is wonderful. Because this is the thing. So I have a lot of guys that I work with who stumble. They call it stumbling. I call it placing themselves in the friend zone. But where they are interacting with a woman, and maybe she's not wearing a ring on her finger, but at some point during the conversation, she says something about her boyfriend or about her fiance, whatever it is, you know, that she mentions that she's not available. And so for a lot of guys, they write to me and they say, okay, yeah, she said that she had a boyfriend, but I think that this is one of the tests that women put out there saying that probably she does have a boyfriend and she, you know, may be with him, but then she starts talking about how she's possibly unhappy or she continues to invite me to places. And for them, they think that this is a challenge to them to fight stronger or more strongly for her attention, which lands them in the friend zone, because ultimately they're never going to end up being with this woman. So for women who are in relationships, who still, you know, respond in a friendly nature and maybe even to try and build and establish a friendship, what would be something that you can tell to these guys who in their mind think that one day they have a chance with this woman? What's really going on in a female's mind during that interaction?
Well, I think, you know, for me, one good thing is, you know, if you're talking with a woman and she's complaining about her boyfriend or her husband or whatever, I would hope it's not husband, but let's say it's boyfriend just to keep it a little bit more open. If she's complaining about her boyfriend, it's like, I'm such a direct person, Marnie. I feel like guys should just have the balls to say, hey, look, are you unhappy? Are you open to dating other people?
I love
that. And if she says no, then be like, okay, that's cool. Then you know you're in the friend zone and you know she's looking for a friend. But if she says, wow, actually, maybe I am, say, okay, cool. Like, if it's cool that you're, you know, I have integrity, if you're open to dating other people and you've set that boundary, then I'll take you out to dinner next week.
I love that. That was actually a perfect response. And that's typically the response that I give to most of the guys, where it's be direct, ask for what you want, and don't live in, I call it purgatory, in the purgatory zone, where you're stopping yourself from saying the things that you want out of fear that if you say them, it will rock the boat and you'll lose all opportunities. So that was a fantastic answer. But the main thing that I do want to talk to you, because you are a super successful woman, like I'm, you know, I'm nervous talking to you on the phone. So what is the message that you can give to guys out there when they ask, how does a guy go about dating a successful woman? Because a lot of women that I talk to and who I am friends with are successful women. And the common complaint that I hear from them is that they are worried men are going to be intimidated by their success. And in fact, they've had multiple situations when dating where men are intimidated by their success. So on the flip side, for men, are women who are successful off boundaries if you're not a successful man?
No, I think that that's just horrible. That's a horrible way to look at life.
Yeah.
you know, in terms of how to date a successful woman, I think, first of all, every successful woman is different. You know, some successful women are very driven and they're very in their masculine all the time. Mm-hmm. And they may be better off with a masculine man that is more in his feminine energy, if that makes sense. He's not gay. Yeah. He's just very comfortable being in his feminine energy. And those two can rock out like rock stars.
Right.
But if you're, you know, you have to really, first of all, the guy has to be honest with himself about what he wants. Because any driven, successful woman, you know, one of her biggest priorities is going to be her career, her business, and her success.
Right.
And they have to get that. And they also have to, like, really be clear about, well, what's her dreams? You know, when I was single, one of my biggest challenges was guys wanting to, like, marry me off and take me to the suburbs and, you know, get me pregnant and have kids.
Right.
And that's never going to happen. Like, I don't want kids of my own. I'm very clear on my priorities. And it wasn't until I found a guy who got it and was like, yeah, I get it. It's cool. I like you exactly as you are. That was the turning point.
That's
so fun. I think it's about being really clear with your own dreams and goals for a relationship and not trying to take a woman who is really driven and who has a mission in the world and turn her into something she's not, like a housewife.
I love that. Can you tell me more maybe about, you know, you and your husband? I'm not sure, you know, how comfortable you are.
Sure.
Like maybe if we can go back to, you know, when you met him and maybe try and get into the mindset of a guy who's trying to understand attraction and what it looks like.
Yeah.
And just paint a larger picture for them so they can see and understand what was going on in your mind when you met your husband.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, most driven and successful women are not going to play games. Like, I don't have time for that. So, you know, even when we first met, although, you know, my business was in its infancy and my career was in its infancy, I didn't wait for him to really make the first move. Like, I kind of took charge and was very interested in him and said, you know, I want to hang out. I want to get to know you. I think you're amazing. And I was actually the first one to kiss him. And he kind of threw him off base a little bit because he didn't know what to expect.
I love that I did that with my husband, too. I asked for his phone number.
Yeah. And so that's one of the things that you have to be prepared for. Again, if you're going for a woman who's very ambitious and who's used to getting what she wants, she's not going to put up with bullshit games and she's not going to want to beat around the bush. And while there is certainly so much truth to, you know, having the feminine and the masculine energy at play where, you know, I like to be romanced, I like to be surprised, I like to be taken out. But when it comes to time-wasting games, got no space for it. So
right.
With Josh, what was amazing is that he was super receptive to me and he was also, you know, willing to kind of step up and play just as strong and just as well and say, hey, I want to take you here. Let's go do this. Why don't you come over here? I want to see you. I want to be with you. And I was like, great. You know, it was awesome to have someone be so direct. And at the same time, you know, it wasn't all peaches and cream. If there were ever challenges or issues, one of the reasons that our relationship is so healthy is that we put them on the table. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, this feels uncomfortable or this doesn't work for me or I'm nervous about this or I'm not sure about X or Y or Z. There's a level of transparency and directness that you have to be prepared for.
Yeah, well, because you don't have time to waver through all of the, you know, emotional conversation. You want to get to the point and be clear on what you guys are trying to accomplish together.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to also really be precise, you know, with both Josh and I, it's not as though we weren't or aren't willing to sit with those emotions. I think it's just the communication about exactly what's happening is key. You know, if someone's having a hard time figuring something out, whether or not they want to be married, whether or not they want to be together, how they feel about something, when any person in a relationship holds back what they're struggling with, that's where problems arise. You know, you can totally have a conversation with a successful woman and say, hey, I'm unsure. I just want to let you know, I'm going through something right now. I'll fill you back in if I've got any of it figured out or I'll keep you posted along the way. That's a lot better than like retreating and making her crazy going like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly. Absolutely. There's a great article in Psychology Today this month that talks about doubt in your relationships, how it's actually healthy. And it says you actually enter into a real relationship as soon as you have your first moment of doubt about that person, because that's when you can really work on shoving aside your ego for the greatness of the relationship. And that's where many people tend to sadly fail is that as soon as they feel that discomfort, they don't talk about it. They don't express it. They don't communicate it. And they just think that, oh God, I shouldn't be feeling this way because I shouldn't be having an issue with the person that I'm in a couple with because it's supposed to be perfection and he should know or she should know what's going on with me. So, so it's interesting that you bring up that point. Can I ask you a little bit more about maybe the qualities or the characteristics that you do find or you did find and you still find attractive in your husband?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I would love that.
So I think the biggest thing for most, for many, many women I talk to, it's certainly true for me, is sense of humor. Like, sense of humor is everything.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
A guy that can make you laugh, that doesn't take himself too seriously, that's willing to be goofy and to have fun and to be playful and to laugh not only at himself but at everything else in life, like, that's huge. Okay. That's really, really huge because a sense of humor in life in general is like one of the things that'll get you through it. And especially in relationships, you know, things go wrong and things get messed up, and someone who can laugh and help you laugh when things get tough in your own life is extremely valuable.
Definitely.
Another characteristic is someone, again, who's emotionally available, who for me is, again, because I'm very, very driven and I spend a lot of my time in my masculine, to be with someone who is very in touch with their emotions and very comfortable and very also intuitive, for me that was big. It was really big because I didn't want to be, you know, after working really hard all day, I need someone who's nurturing and who's open and who's warm. I don't want anyone who's stoic and cold.
Okay. Can you, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. So to go back to the sense of humor, okay, like to maybe dig a little bit deeper and paint a broader picture, because for some guys you're like, I'm signing up for a comedy course right now so that I can be the big goofball who has a sense of humor so that women will want me. Cause I think that for a lot of men, they hear certain words that women say and they follow them directly. So they hear women like men who can make them laugh. So they focus, with everything in, you know, they have on becoming funny. But can you break down like what that looks like? Like, where has having a sense of humor been helpful in your relationship and been helpful in sparking attraction?
That's a really tough question to answer, and I don't know if I can. because humor is one of those things. I think if each person listening to this call thinks about their own life and remembers any time when they've laughed really hard and how good you feel when you're laughing. You feel alive. You're smiling. You're open. Your whole body starts to feel bubbly. You know, again, whether you're watching a movie, you're watching, you know, maybe a stand-up comic, you've read like a really funny tweet or something on social media, or you've seen a video that just makes you pee your pants.
Right.
There's just something alive and warm and fuzzy and your cares go away and it just feels really good.
It feels free, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so it's not about being able to tell jokes, but I really think it's about an approach to life. So anyone, again, if you got a pulse, you've laughed, hopefully.
Right.
And you can think to times when something was really hilariously funny and how you felt. And if you're around someone who, whether they show you videos, you know what I mean?
Right. Or
that's just their approach to life. It's like you're going to want to be around them.
Absolutely. Okay, so that was actually a perfect answer. Because I like to talk to guys. It's sort of like people have labeled it as high status humor, where it's not, okay, I can only make you laugh and I can be the dancing monkey for you, you know, to entertain you. But I think exactly what you just said, that it's the way that you approach life, where you're not emotionally drained by the things that are happening around you. You can make light of a situation. Because for me, with my husband, if I do get anxious, I do get insecure, I have moments where I'm down, you know, and there are times like that when he looks over at me and he sees that I am feeling that way or acting that way, you know, because he can see it on my face. And he'll come up to me and he'll make a goofy face and he'll kiss me like crazy on my neck.
Yeah.
And that for me is the sense of humor that I'm talking about, where, and you know, there's other places where you could be witty and charming and you can make a joke, but it is that attitude that life is fine. Life is absolutely great and fun and free. And I see that you're down and I'm not going to get down with you, but I'm going to cheer you up by showing you that life is fun, and I'm going to kiss you on the neck, and we're going to laugh together.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, so next one that you were talking about, that you said you were attracted to your husband. Oh gosh, now I forgot what the second one that you listed.
It was being emotionally open and available.
Okay, and so again, for guys, so emotional, they've been told, and a lot of my clients are like, you know, I've been told in the past, women do not want emotional men. So I've kept all of my emotions in. So can you maybe try to, again, paint a picture of what it looks like to be in that middle zone where you can have emotions and be vulnerable, but not be emotional?
Well, I think the big thing here, you know, if I'm going through a tough time and I can talk with Josh about it and he can identify and empathize with what I'm going through emotionally, not necessarily having to fix it, but really convey that he understands how it feels. He understands my disappointment. He understands my frustration. He understands my insecurity. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily go down there with me, or, you know, he doesn't have to get emotional, but it's about being aware and conscious enough to receive that information, not go into fix-it mode immediately, but really be someone who's nurturing and caring and can really say, God, I really get you. I really can feel that. I've experienced that in my life too. I know how it feels. Like, you know, let's hang out for a few minutes.
Yeah, I can feel that in like my heart when you even explained it, because I can picture your husband doing that, but I can also picture my husband doing it, and it is the most soothing feeling. So,
yes.
So what does that do for you as a woman? Does it create connection, more attraction? What does it do for you?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's not so much like, ooh, that's like such a turn on. I'm looking more for like a long term, like this is a solid human being that I want to share my life with, like someone who's mature, who gets it, who cares about every part of me, and who cares about my evolution as a human being.
I love that. So I do want to talk about if you can maybe try and put yourself into the mindset of the single you. I don't know how long ago that was, but
10 years ago.
10 years ago. Okay, fine. So same as me. So yeah, to try and put yourself into that mindset of, you know, you out in the social world interacting with guys that you were open and available to.
Yep.
And so what would be the difference between a guy you would want to talk to versus a guy that you would say, yeah, not for me. I'm trying to find the nearest escape route so I can get away from you.
I think it's this really interesting juxtaposition of confidence and laid backness.
Okay. And what does that look like?
You know, gosh, it could look like someone confident enough if they noticed you to come up and say something, but not pushy or desperate or like, oh my God, you're so beautiful, I have to have your number, and they just like verbal diarrhea all over you
and pouncing on you.
Right.
So I know you were talking before about signs, like that there is an energy that you do give off, but I tell a lot of guys, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what the statement that you just made. I tell guys, like, yes, women can give signs they're attracted, they're turned on, that they want you to approach them, but the most important sign to recognize is the one in your mind that's saying, she's cute, I want to talk to her.
Yep.
So if there were a guy that would have approached you, you know, 10 years ago, and he were confident, had a great character, you know, he had no problems approaching you, did not like puke all over you basically with his verbal diarrhea, how would he start talking to you to engage you in conversation? Like, what, I don't want you to give me a line, but like, what would he say to get you talking?
See, now this is the place where I actually think that guys can trip up looking mm-hmm. for, because it's like, you know, I don't want you to give me a line, but what else could you give? Right. Do you know what I mean? This is the place where I feel like it sounds silly, but like Crazy Stupid Love, or, you know, like watching movies and just literally absorbing that type of confident energy. I'm sure there's more movies than that you can probably list, and you might even know them. But it's about experimenting. And like, you know, it depends also on the context. What you might say in a yoga class is different than what you might say in a bar, which is different than what you might say in a park. Right. Does that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the more guys can let go of a desire to have like a line or something standard. And like literally women are just people. Like we're just people. So it's not, you can't really get it wrong on a certain, at a certain point, right, Marnie? It's like, yeah. You could have the perfect line and you can have the right energy and you can be confident and you can have the best clothes on, but it comes down to chemistry. Like you could do all that right and the girl may just not like you. She just might not be your type. So I would much rather see guys give it their best to, you know, put themselves together and be outgoing, but just like be a human being. You know, if you're in a coffee shop and there's a newspaper and you notice her reading something cool, be like, oh my God, are you into that? You know, are you into, have you heard more about that election or who knows what it could be? Exactly. But it has to arise in the moment. And if people are present rather than trying, guys especially, if they're really in the moment and present versus trying to remember, you know, what they read in some book or learned in some course, they'll do 10 times better.
I love that. Okay, there was another, I'm like crazy obsessed with psychology today, but there was another article where this guy was talking about a situation where he was about to get onto a plane and he saw this adorable girl with this cute smile and she, you know, had a cane because she had hurt her foot and he ended up sitting across from her when he got onto the plane. And for the first half an hour, he was thinking, what do I say to this girl? What do I say to this girl? And he said hi and he looked over at her, then he turned back and he couldn't think of what else to say. So he went to the bathroom and decided, okay, I'm going to tell her a story about X, for example. And the X happened to be about a book that he was reading. And so he was so set in telling this story about the book that he got back to his seat and he said to her, hey, do you read? Do you like to read? And she said, no. And he was shocked because he's like, okay, the conversation didn't go like I had seen it happening in my head. So he's like, you don't like to read? And she goes, no, I don't really like to read. I read magazines. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he still tried to fit in his conversation into what he had planned on before he had heard her response. So,
right.
So, which I think is so interesting. And, you know, he learned that lesson afterwards, and that's what the whole article was about. But the whole thing is that a lot of men plan their attacks, is how I'll label it.
Yeah.
And that what you had mentioned before, which I think is so important, is that you have to be human. And that you have to, it's not naturally just have conversation. Because again, for a lot of guys, you're like, how do I naturally have conversation? But more importantly, to think about, what do I want to talk about? And okay, I want to talk about this, but this woman in front of me has given me oodles of information about herself, either by what she's doing or how she's responded. And the most important thing is to remain present in the situation and not aiming for an outcome, because like you said, that takes away from the connection. And I have tons of programs that teach men about how to practice being in the moment and how to practice having conversation that so that they can become more natural with their conversation. But I think that's a really important point that you just made. Like being human and being present is essential for creating attraction. Yep. With anybody, whether it's two women who are talking, it's like you have to be listening to the other person. If I was sitting on the phone just in complete admiration of you and agreeing with everything you said, it would be a boring interview.
Yep.
Because there wouldn't be anything else there.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're almost at the half an hour mark and we got through a lot of information. I actually didn't get to touch on a lot of the questions that I had sent over to you. But I think you gave some valuable information. And the biggest thing, you know, that I've learned, that I hope the guys have learned, is that successful women, women who are in the celebrity world, women who are in rock bands, unsuccessful women, women who work 9-to-5 jobs, I really believe that we are all the same. We are attracted to the same things. We want the same things in the people that we engage with. And the few things that you did touch on were a positive way of looking at life, free spirit. I heard that there was leadership in there, and really being present across the board. Those things will always attract everybody, no matter what level of success that you're at. So I really appreciate you being on the call with me. And I would love to, you know, for you to give information for people to work with you or get in touch with you or find more out about you, whether they would like to use it for themselves or to pass it on to other women in their lives that, you know, they know have potential to be something great.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I wrote a book, Marnie, called Make Every Man Want You, How to Be So Irresistible You'll Barely Keep from Dating Yourself.
I love that.
And it's in 11 languages, so it's doing really, really well. And I have a lot of men that have read it and written in and saying, I know it's for women, but to be really honest, it's for human beings. It's just marketed to women.
Wonderful.
So it's a great resource whether you want to read it for yourself. And there's a lot about being present. That's actually what the entire book is about.
Oh, wow.
And the main site, which has a ton of great information, is marieforleo.com, marieforleo.com.
Wonderful. And I'll have a link to your website as well. I'll have a link through Amazon to get a copy of your book, because I think you're fantastic. You have a great message. And more importantly, you practice what you preach. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.